Good evening, Harmony. This is Pastor Stephen Baker, and welcome to the Saturday night Bible study. Johnny Coffey usually teaches for us, but it's been his birthday, and he's been preoccupied with his son visiting, which is excellent. We're glad to have Ian around, and so I'm going to be teaching tonight a Christmas message from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. And so we'll just for a few minutes look at Isaiah, and we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 9 and looking in verse 7. So we'll get started. The title of the message tonight is A Christmas Story. A Christmas Story. And so from verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9, the Word of God says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And so the first thing we're going to look at tonight from this historic prophecy in the Old Testament is his government. His government. The Bible says in verse 6, "The government shall be upon his shoulder." And verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." So this is a prophecy of the coming kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, a government that is going to be ruled by him and supported by him. And so the Bible prophesies this also in the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 34, the Bible says, "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces." And so in this particular story, Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonian Empire, had had a dream. He had seen a vision, and he had seen this great statue. And Daniel explained to him that this statue represented all the different kingdoms, the different empires down to the end of time. And at the end of time, the feet of the image represented an empire that is like the old Roman Empire that will come at the end of time. And this great stone that is cut out without hands smashes the feet of this image. And so, again, reading verse 34, "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hand, which smote the image upon the feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces." So at the end of time, this stone that is made without hands, which represents Jesus Christ in his return, this stone is going to smash the revised Roman Empire at the end of time, and Christ is going to set up his kingdom. Now, this revised Roman Empire, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, and also in the book of Daniel as well, the Bible tells us and prophesies that this will be led by the Antichrist. And so Christ is going to come and destroy man's kingdom, which is the Antichrist kingdom, which is against God, and he's going to set up his kingdom at the end of time. This is a future prophecy, and so it's not something that Christians should be working towards right now. We're supposed to be preaching the gospel and seeing people get saved. We're not supposed to be trying to establish God's kingdom on earth by overthrowing governments and setting up political kingdoms. And I know that may upset some people who are listening. I'm not saying that we're not supposed to vote for Christians and vote vote for godly people. But what I'm saying is it's not the job of the church to take over and rule the government right now. Our mission was given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, and our mission is to preach the gospel and see people saved. Jesus gave us the Great Commission. That's the church's mission, and that's our job, to preach the gospel and see folks get saved. But one day, Jesus will return, and Jesus Christ will set up his kingdom, and he will rule over the earth. And this is prophesied in Daniel with this stone cut out without hands. Now in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 27, the Bible says, "And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." And so this again is a prophecy where the Ancient of Days, the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes and he will set up his kingdom, and all the kingdoms of men will be yielded over to the people, the saints of the Most High. They will be yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ and his people, and Jesus Christ will have a kingdom that the Bible says is everlasting. You know, the United States is fairly young amongst other countries. If you look at nations like Great Britain, you know, we're just a very young nation. And you look at China, we're a very young nation. But all nations eventually come to an end. They exist in a period of time. It may be hundreds of years. It may even be thousands of years, but they exist for a period of time. But the kingdom that Christ sets up will never end. It'll be an everlasting kingdom, the Bible says. And the Bible says, "And all dominions shall serve and obey him." So everyone's going to yield to Jesus. Of course, the Bible says in the New Testament, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now in Luke chapter 1 and verses 31 through 33, the Word of God says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." So, when Mary was given the fact, when she was told by the angel the fact that she was going to conceive as a virgin, she was going to conceive this baby, and his name would be Jesus, which means Savior. When she was told that, she was also told that this would be the Messiah, that this would be the God in the flesh who would reign on the throne of David. He would be a descendant of David. He would reign on the throne of David, Israel's great historic king. He would reign on that throne, and he would rule a kingdom that would have no end. So this is another prophecy of this everlasting kingdom. And so when Isaiah gives a prophecy of the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, it speaks of his kingdom that will last forever. And there is a coming kingdom of Christ. But again, right now, we are not trying to establish a political kingdom on earth. What we're trying to do is to win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our business as Christians. And it's not our business to worship government and to get so caught up in government affairs that we dismiss our main duty, which is to carry out the Great Commission, to get sinners saved, to see sinners come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to a saving knowledge of him. And so we see his kingdom, and it is coming. Now we're going to look at his throne. His throne. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So the throne of David. Schofield says the throne of David is a phrase as definite historically as the throne of the Caesars. It's a real throne. It's not a figurative thing. It is a real throne. Jesus will reign upon the throne of David. The first time that Jesus Christ came, he came as a child. But the second time that he comes, he will come as a conquering king. The first time that he came to die. But the second time that he comes, he will come to reign forever. The first time he came to bring peace from God to men's hearts. But the second time that he comes, he'll come to bring peace on earth. And that's what we sing about at Christmas. We sing about peace on earth. And the Bible talks about peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And, you know, Jesus hasn't brought peace, political peace, to the earth. In fact, Jesus said, I come not to bring peace, but to bring a sword. And so the truth of the matter is that people are going to be at war with each other till Jesus returns. People are going to be fighting and fussing and debating. But Jesus did not come to bring world peace. He came to bring peace to men's hearts. And the way that we have that peace is by believing that Jesus died for our sins on the cross and was buried and rose from the dead, and by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's how we receive the peace of God. And you can have that peace tonight. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9 talks about this coming kingdom of Christ and the peace that he will bring on the earth. The Bible says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine all these animals that would be trying to eat one another, the leopard and the lamb? Well, I guess they're not eating one another. The lamb doesn't eat the leopard, but the leopard would try and eat the lamb. But at any rate, you've got peace even amongst the animals. They're all getting along, and a little child, who usually you would say, stay away from those animals because they're going to hurt you, but instead the little child, the world is so much at peace under the kingdom of Christ that the little child can lead these dangerous animals. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed. So you got a cow and a bear feeding. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. So in the coming kingdom of Christ, all the animals are going to switch to being vegetarians. That's very interesting, but you know, that's the way it was in the Garden of Eden when God originally created the animals. There was no bloodshed. You know, the first bloodshed was when Adam and Eve sinned and they realized they were naked. They sewed the fig leaves together, and God said, you know, your fig leaves are not good enough, because God won't accept a man-made religion. He's not going to accept our fig leaf religion, our man-made religion. So he said, that's not good enough. I'm going to make you some coats. And he slew an animal and made them coats of animal skins. And that established a principle that the only way that man's sins can be covered is by blood. There has to be a blood sacrifice. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross. And your religion that you put together, and the religion that I would put together, those man-made religions cannot get rid of our sin. They can't do it. But the only thing that could was the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And that's ultimately what we celebrate at Christmas. Not just his birth, but the fact that he was born to die. And so he died on the cross. He was born to die and died so that we might live. And so the Bible prophesies that in the future, when the coming kingdom of Christ comes, that that the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And so it's going to go back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden, when God rules the earth. And the suckling child, this is verse 8, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. Think about that. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. So these animals that would usually sting, the scorpion sting, the snake, these animals that would usually bite and sting, little children can play around them because they're not going to hurt anymore because God is in charge. God is ruling. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You see, what makes everybody hurt one another is the lack of the knowledge of the Lord. We don't know the Lord. People don't know the Lord. And so sin entered the world and destroyed everything, and it messed up the knowledge of God. And so people have to know God through the Lord Jesus Christ and continue to know God on a daily basis through reading and studying their Bibles, which is one of the reasons why we have this Saturday night Bible study and why Brother Johnny teaches, because he's trying to get all of us to study our Bibles more. And that's a great thing. And so the knowledge of the Lord, when the knowledge of the Lord is over all the earth, nothing is going to hurt anymore. There won't be people hurting one another. There won't be animals hurting people or hurting one another. Now, we've talked about his government, his kingdom. It's going to come in the future. This government that the Lord Jesus Christ will be in charge of, that Isaiah prophesies, that Daniel prophesies, that even the book of Luke, that the angel, when he talked to Mary, he said he's going to have an everlasting kingdom. This son, this child that's being born of you, will rule over the throne of his father David, and he will rule an everlasting kingdom. So his government, it's coming. And then we looked at his throne, and this is the throne of David. This is a literal government. This is a literal ruling in the line of David, who ruled upon the throne of Israel. And then we see, thirdly, his zeal. His zeal. The Bible says in Isaiah 9 and verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. God will do what he determines to do. God will do. God is zealous to do what he has said he will do. He will keep his word. Isaiah 46, verses 10 through 11 says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. God can call even a heathen like Cyrus. God can call a heathen king, a pagan king, and can use him to do what he wants done. And that's why Christians that are concerned about the election and about fraud and about all those things, and you're so caught up in government, that's why I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to worry about it. You vote according to biblical principles, but you leave it in God's hands, and it may be, now your man may win. He may win in the end, but probably not, okay? So the thing is that rather than getting mad about it, just understand that, look, God has called heathen kings to deliver his people. God can use the Democrat. He can use the person that you don't agree with to do his will. It's really up to God who he puts on the throne. It's up to God what he does. See, you either have to believe that God's in control or he's not in control. And if he's not in control, then we're in a mess. But if God's in control, then trust God and see what God does. America may need judgment. And then again, there may be something that needs to happen that we just don't understand. And so let's trust God. But God did this for Israel, and he used a heathen king to deliver Israel and to protect Israel. And he says here, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." And then again in verse 11, he says, Isaiah 46, verse 11, "Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will also do it." And so God will do what he wants to do. He's going to do what he wants to do. "The zeal of the Lord shall perform this." God is zealous to keep his word and to do what he has purposed to do. And Acts 15:18, the Bible says, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." When we talk about the foreknowledge of God, that's what that's talking about, the foreknowledge of God. It's God's knowledge of what he will do. "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." And so God knows what he'll do. He knows his works. And so God knows. He knew that he would save you. He knew you before you were even born. He said to Isaiah, "Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee and ordained thee to be a prophet to the nations." Somebody asked me the other day, do you have a problem with abortion? Do you feel like you have a right to speak out against abortion? And I said, absolutely, absolutely. And one of the reasons why is because God said to Isaiah, "Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee." So, you know, when does life begin? Well, certainly it begins at conception, but God even said, "Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee." He already knew Isaiah, and he ordained him to be a prophet to the nations. And so I believe that we certainly ought to say that as soon as a baby is conceived, it's a baby. And we ought to believe that. Now, I know people disagree with that, but I'm a preacher of the Bible. I just have to go with what the Bible says. But I'll give you some good news, Christians. And I said this in church the other week. Abortion overall is on the decrease. It's on the decrease. And it's not because of the government. It's on the decrease because the message of Christ and the message of life is getting out. And I think it's fitting at Christmas, as we talk about the birth of Jesus Christ, to just say that, you know, if the Supreme Court of the United States never makes abortion illegal, if they did, it would just go to the states and be up to the states. But if they never make it illegal, people's hearts are being changed. And more young women, when they get pregnant, they're choosing to have the baby. And so that's a wonderful thing. And so let's take some encouragement from that. It's the gospel that's going to change lives. That's what I'm trying to say, is that Christ is going to set up his kingdom, but it's not the church's job to set up that kingdom on earth. Our job is to preach the gospel, to preach Christ. And if we would focus on getting people saved, people would change. You want to change people, get them saved. Preach the gospel, see them get saved, and then they'll change. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And that leads me to this final statement. If we only had zeal to accomplish God's work. You know, God said of the birth of Christ, "The zeal of the Lord shall perform this." If we only had zeal to accomplish God's work. God has a work for us to do as a church. He has a work for you to do as a Christian. There's people you need to witness to. There's people you need to share the gospel with. This Christmas is a great time. You may not travel to see family because of the virus. You may just have a small gathering, but you're going to send out Christmas cards and so on and so forth. You'll be on the phone. You'll be on FaceTime. You'll be on Skype. Okay? When we're doing that, let's be sure to share our testimony. Let's share the love of Jesus Christ. Let's share the gospel this Christmas. You know, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And so any person who hears and believes the gospel will be saved. The Bible says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so if you want to be saved, put your faith in Jesus Christ today as your crucified, buried, and risen Savior, and be born again. And if we would just as believers be zealous, the zeal of the Lord shall perform this, if we would be zealous to share the good news of Jesus Christ this Christmas. God bless you, and I hope you have a great rest of the week.